it simple, keep it small. And there will be enough for all. Take a little, give a lot. Thank Mother Earth and Father Sky for what you've got.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Green Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie, and a member of the Green Woman Tribe, which was created from the Healthy Women, Healthy Earth organization. We are women wrapping our lives around making a difference in the world. Today, I would like to welcome my guest, Tamara Hurl, who is a licensed professional counselor, registered board certified art therapist, associate certified life coach, and a certified forest therapy guide. Tamara is the CEO and lead facilitator, and you can find her at Wild Divine Coaching and Retreats in Cascade, Colorado. And that is where she offers on-site and virtual retreats, team building, and a deep dive one-on-one coaching sessions. Tamara's zone of genius is helping socially conscious entrepreneurs use art and nature to connect with the universe. I love that. I love connecting with the universe. She helps them decipher the divine signs the universe shares to support women when they lose momentum in manifesting their vision for changing what's not working in the world. So welcome, Tamara. And in today's world, I think we have many people who don't feel a connection to themselves or even in our world today. So where does someone start with manifesting their vision for change?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for inviting me to be a guest here. Yes, Green Women, we need more of those, right?
Yes, we do. Definitely. And there's definitely more coming on board all the time. So that's great.
It is great. And I think the first place to start when you feel called to make change in the world, I think the first place to start is to get really clear about your life purpose. Like where, because there are so many ways that we can change things and so many things in need of change, in my opinion, in the world. So the first question to ask is, you know, how am I meant to help? What is my role in creating change in the world?
That is a great question. And it's about our purpose. So we're talking about life purpose. So can life purpose change throughout one's life? And if so, how?
I think life purpose can definitely change throughout one's life. I know for myself, well, first, when I was in high school, there were some people who were like, oh, I know exactly what I want to do. And I was like, I have no idea what I want to do. Maybe I'll just be a nurse. But then I realized, and nobody counseled me. Nobody was talking to me about this. I was just trying to figure it out on my own. But then I realized that the sight of blood makes me faint or feel faint. So I thought, nursing's probably not a good thing for me. So yep. I kind of stumbled around for a long time. And for a while, I was a stay-at-home mom. And then I got to the point where, and I got this really cool job at a museum in a small town, and I loved it. I was the director. And so I got to plan these exhibits, and there I discovered a love for local history. And it got to the point where I needed to either get, if I wanted to further my education in that kind of work in a museum, I needed to go to school. And so I just started exploring what kind of things were out there. And I was taking a watercolor class, and one of the students said, well, have you ever heard of the field of art therapy? And I hadn't. I was like, what's that? And it just so happened that there was a program that was only about an hour drive away from me where I could start working on becoming an art therapist. I had to start out as an art teacher first, because that was, I needed a bachelor's degree first. And also I needed a master's degree. And I put myself through school, so I borrowed money to get my bachelor's degree, and I was an art teacher for a while, and that supported me and helped me get my master's degree so that I could become an art therapist. And I loved that work for a while, because that I thought that this is my calling, being an art therapist. And I loved that for a while, but then I got to the point where I wanted to work with people who are healthy, not just people who have a mental illness. and I'm just putting that word in quotes or that phrase in quotes, but I also wanted to work with people who are healthy. So then I explored coaching, and I really love coaching as well. So my purpose changed to where I was doing coaching. Mm-hmm. And then I don't exactly know how this started. I have loved being in nature all of my life. I always felt acceptance there and a deep sense of peace. And I just remember, so I started working for myself as a therapist. And I remember looking out the window one day, and my husband was, it was like 4 o'clock or something. The light was gorgeous. And I'm looking out there, he's out there on the trail. And I'm like, I want to be out there on the trail. You know, I was tired of being behind a desk. So I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if there was a way for me to be out in nature with people and helping them heal and helping them get empowered. And so then I started looking into forest therapy, and then my purpose shifted a little bit. That's when I got certified as a forest therapy guide. And now my purpose sort of combines all of those things. I've sort of rolled it all into one. And so I think, you know, that our purpose can evolve over time like that. And I also think that I've seen people, when I was a therapist, I heard so many people say, I really had this passion for, let's just say, music. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a guitar player, and I was good at it. In fact, this is like the story of my brother. But my mom, you know, she was just looking out for what was best for him. And she said, oh, I don't, you know, how are you going to support yourself? You really think, you know, and we hear people say this, you know, how hard it is to make a name for yourself as a rock star or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she encouraged him to find something else, which he did. And he made really good money on it, but he always had this passion for guitar. And so I think sometimes it's sad when that happens, that your purpose can change because you feel like you can't make it.
Right.
You can't make a living. The universe, the world isn't going to support you in doing what you really like to do. Julia Cameron has a neat book called The Artist's Way. I don't know if you've ever seen it. She talks about, yeah. And she talks about shadow artists. So like a person who really wants to be an artist, but they don't think they're good enough. So they end up working in an art gallery, and there's, you know, look at this, you know, they're trying to sell other people's artwork. And really deep inside, they've got this burning passion. They're wishing that their own painting could be up there on that wall in that gallery. So that, you know, I think it's important. I think I've seen people not be able to live their passion for whatever reason. And so they settle for something else.
I think you gave great examples. I think, you know, when we're a child, and, you know, like you had mentioned too, our parents, and they say, oh, yeah, no, don't do this, do that. And, you know, life to me is an adventure. So go for it, like you did. It's like one thing might lead to another, or you're in a different part of your life or a different world. And I think people think that once they pick something, that's they're so worried that they're going to pick the wrong thing, but just pick it, because that's going to lead to something else. And your personal story just showed that. And I had a similar story too. And, you know, my dad wanted me to be, you know, I had to be, technical or science or something. And I didn't want to do that at first. I wanted to travel. I had an appointment to, you know, an interview to be a flight attendant, and he wouldn't give me the keys to the car. And then I thought, okay, fine, I'll go find something. And the same thing, you know, I actually was in an engineering business, but I was a secretary and so forth like that. But I took a lot of business classes too when I was in high school and college. And so what transpired was then my boss wanted me to do the billing, the finance part of it. And then I did that. And then it grew into other areas. And then, of course, after I did it for 18 years, like you're saying, yeah, I started thinking I needed something else. So I think that's life in general, but we tend to make life in a box. And then it's like, that's the only avenue you can travel on. But there's many avenues and many streets that you can go down. And people are changing all through their lives. So like you said, if you pick one thing, it's not going to be for good. Just keep searching it and you'll end up. And of course, they're adventures and they're building blocks. Like you said, they build upon each other. So do you have tips though, if you're having a midlife crisis, like, or a crisis after you retire, like I'm retired, and maybe give us some tips on some healthy ways to cope, especially as we get older, because a lot of people really, you know, once they retire, and maybe it was that job they had all their life or that one job, and they don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And yeah, because I think especially, well, either, you know, in a midlife crisis or in when we retire, a lot of that stems from our identity being so tied up in our job, especially when we retire.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I would invite people to do some journaling. You know, go back and look at pictures of yourself when you were a child. What did you love to do? Because some of those things are, you know, why not spend some time doing those things that you, especially, and like when we're working, we think, oh, I wish I had time to blank, whatever, fill in the blank.
Right.
Well, when you're retired, you do. So Think back about some of those things. Think back about what you loved as a child. Look around you in the world and see what excites you. That's one thing. You know, what is like, you feel so on fire when you think about it in a good way. And also, what really ticks you off? What are those things, you know, like I look at my oldest daughter, who's a teacher, and she has a really hard, you know, they say, oh, you've got to get the test scores up. And she tries to do that. And yet she spends most of her time just trying to keep the discipline problems under control. And so that's a system. I get ticked off when I think about that.
Yeah.
So those are things, you know, look at those things that you feel passionate about or really angry about. And those are some things that might, you know, journal about it. You know, do I feel called to do this? Ask the universe to bring some people into your life that can help you find your new path. Use oracle cards. They can really help you see things from a different perspective. We have blind spots, and oracle cards can really help you get past those and get in. The universe can see. There's a poem about a weaving, and it says, like, sometimes the underside of weaving looks so different than the top side.
Yeah.
And we can only see the underside, but the universe sees the top side and can see the whole beautiful, some people call it your divine blueprint of who you are and how you're meant to impact the world. And when you tap into universal consciousness, then you can get access to that knowledge and how the universe sees you and knows what your full potential is. So journaling and oracle cards, spending time in nature and just observing nature is so powerful. Nature is such a powerful and wonderful teacher. So those are some of the things that I would recommend.
Can you explain oracle cards a little bit? I know for you and I and the fields of work that we've been in, oracle cards are really interesting. In fact, my cousin and I do oracle cards for like the full moon, new moon, and the solstices. And it's to be connected to that universal psyche that it's changing all the time. And we are a part of that. And how do we relate to that? So could you just explain a little bit about oracle cards? I know there's a lot of different types.
Sure. Yes, there definitely are. And basically, so oracle cards, you know, think of a deck of playing cards with, you know, it's got the Ace of Hearts and all that. And oracle cards, instead of having the different suits like hearts, spades, clubs, have different images. Sometimes they are images of angels, or sometimes they are images of animals. Mm-hmm. And so when you, a lot of people will just do a reading for themselves. So you just ask a question and I encourage people to write it down, because if you write down your intention, it's going to help you get more clear. And then the universe knows, oh, Tamara wants help specifically with this issue. And because they're, you know, they're probably looking at me going, yeah, there's all kinds of things we could help her with, but she's specifically asking for help in this area. So then based on your own intuition and the universal consciousness, you write down your question, you shuffle the cards, mm-hmm. and you lay them out. Some people like to fan them out, and they will use their non-dominant hand, and you know, maybe they'll feel a tingling or warmth over the card that they're supposed to draw. Or some people like to lay out stacks, like they'll split the card into two piles, the cards into two piles, and then sometimes they'll just draw the top card. And then you look at the card, and I like to invite people to think of their own before, because usually oracle cards have a guidebook. And before you read what's in the guidebook, though, I encourage people to look at the image and just see how you feel, see how, you know, what response do you get in your body, what thoughts come into your mind. So kind of doing your own interpretation first, and then you read the guidebook, and it can help you see things from a perspective that you might not have thought of. So I think they're a great tool. My daughter and I always joke about this. My youngest daughter will say, yeah, it's not like the universe says, okay, Tamara, take 10 steps towards the sun and then turn left. And there your answer will be. It's not that specific usually, no. but it gives you a general general guidance and support. It makes you feel heard and seen, I think. Anyway, that's how I see it.
Yeah, I've used a deck called the Native Spirit Cards, and they're really fabulous too. And they give you little questions or something you could do and work with at the end, but you do sit with it. And I never was a big journaler. And now I think I have like almost 15 journals, and I just continue them. And kind of a neat idea about even having journals is I've used mine as my story. And so when I pass on, my kids can, or anybody can read them, and they'll know like, oh my God, that's what was bothering her at that time. Oh. Or, you know, you just kind of get more of a purpose of your life. And so even all the little goofy things, and you can draw in journals or whatever you want to do. Sometimes I cut and paste and put them in there, and it's okay. You can put anything you want in a journal. It doesn't have to just be, you know, because people get stuck like, oh, what do I do with this journal? What do I say? But you're right. When you write it out and read it back, it gives you a whole different perspective and mm-hmm. your thinking and everything.
Right. So I have an oracle card deck that I created a couple of years ago, which I'm now in the process of expanding. But let me tell you just a quick story about how the deck was born.
Oh, yes, please.
So I have to admit, I'm like a chip off the old block, a recovering workaholic. My dad was a workaholic. I think that's where I learned it from. Anyway, so even though I'm such a nature lover, I found that I was not spending enough time out in nature, because I have this work ethic, do all your work first, and then if there's time left over, then you can go out and do the fun things. Well, that doesn't work very well because there's always more work to be done. So when I noticed that I wasn't spending enough time in nature, I challenged myself every day, first thing, go out in nature and spend like an hour out there. And I started noticing. First, I noticed patterns in the grasses because mm-hmm. Where I live, this was like at the end of April, I think, and there wasn't anything blooming yet. And I just challenged myself to see beauty anyway. So I noticed that there were lots of different colors of brown and different textures in the seed pods that were left in the grasses. And I started noticing a beauty, and I felt drawn to create images. They're like a mandala, circular images that mm-hmm. have a center point, and then the design stems from there, and there's repetition. And also I was using what's called ephemeral art, because it's art that's not meant to last. So I would find things like seeds from some kind of grasses that had a red reddish color, and I would just make arrangements on the ground, and then I would find other things to add to it. And I was excited because I thought, these are cool. And I started posting them on Facebook, and my friends were saying, you should make an oracle deck out of these. Yeah. So I did. And the first set, or the first version, had 33 cards and just like a sheet with some kind of vague general coaching questions. And I had two printings done of those. And I only had three decks left a couple months ago. And I was asking my daughter, what should I do? Should I just kind of give this up? She goes, I think you should make an expanded version. So I added 11 more cards and guidebook. Yeah, and I'm really excited. I just got the proofs back yesterday, and I'm going to use them at an event this weekend. So I'm really excited about having this new version of my Oracle cards to share. They're called the Earth Altars Oracle Deck.
Oh, that is a really, I like that title a lot. So you mentioned the Oracle cards, which is really awesome. And you also hold retreats in Cascade, Colorado. So can you talk a little about what you offer, like your retreats, the Spiritually Anchored Visionary Facebook group? You also have a Brush Up Your Brilliance Art Therapy Adventure. And we've already talked about the Oracle cards.
Right, right. So the retreats are my ideal client, as you said in the beginning. You know, I love working with socially conscious entrepreneurs, and especially women who really want to make a difference in the world. So in December, I asked some of the women that were in the Visionary Women's Group. Well, actually, it was before that was even born, because that's why I created the group. But I started asking people that I know who are visionary women, what do you need? You know, you're trying to help the world recreate itself. What do you need to feel supported? And they told me a bunch of things. So then I just turned those topics into monthly retreats. So, and in the summertime, they're on site here in Cascade. So that is like June, because summer doesn't really get here until June in Cascade, Colorado. So from June through November, they're on site, and then they're virtual the rest of the year. And there's topics like staying centered in your vision, learning how to decipher the divine, just things that women told me that they really, you know, how to stay the course, you know, what to do when you feel like you're going to give up. So that's what we focus on in the retreats. And then the Facebook group, the Spiritually Anchored Visionary Women on Facebook, is just a group where we can take things beyond that. So like the people from that attended the virtual retreats were making these images. And I was like, oh, you could post that in the Visionary Women's group, and then people could see what we're doing, and you could get support. You can ask questions. You can meet other people who are like-minded spirits. So that's kind of what that Facebook group is for. And then Brush Up Your Brilliance is kind of a new thing. It's funny because I had kind of gotten to the point where I had put the art therapy on the back burner because I was all enamored with the forest. And someone, a coach, one of my coaches said, I had had like these two really long conversations with her, and I was trying to figure out what my zone of genius is. And I said something about art therapy, and she's like, what? Get out of here. How could I have had all these conversations with you and not even know that you're an art therapist? And so I started thinking, wow, what if I just focused more on that? So I have this really neat process that I've been using for 30 years to help people tap into the subconscious. Because when we do that, it's a painting process. And when you do that, and it's painting and movement and guided imagery. It's a bunch of things that I love doing that I've found are really effective for people. And it really helps to get that creativity and those creative juices flowing. And then you can tap into your subconscious to find out what the limiting beliefs are, what kind of things are holding you back. What are these old stories?
Yeah.
Helping those come to life. And then also combining that with the brilliance of the and the unlimited potential of the universal consciousness. So combining those and creating a painting that helps you explore in depth, because I help people interpret the paintings that they create. So I'm really excited about that experience. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, well, you're offering just a wealth of information for anybody. And it kind of, all the stuff that you're offering too is such a variety. So it will tap into somebody's, you know, liking. So I think at this point, you've given us such a good wealth of information. And I am going to post Tamara's contact information in the description of this podcast, so you can always find how to contact her there. And as always, I would like to give you all a big thank you for tuning in and listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the podcast, tell a friend, download and subscribe. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, to name a few. Until next time, stay informed, please be healthy, live green, and become an activist for your own health. The health of your family and the health of Mother Earth are true home.
Keep it simple, keep it small, and there will be enough for all. Take a little, give a lot. Thank Mother Earth and Father Sky for what you've got.